Life Audio.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
We want families to come here and gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home.
Hosted by founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, Peggy Ployer.
Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student.
For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. You're listening to Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer. We'll start the conversation with Peggy and her guests next.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool, a nonprofit that empowers families to home educate diverse learners. To learn more, visit spedhomeschool.com. Here's Peggy Ployer.
Today, we are going to talk about how to enhance educational benefits using equine-assisted therapy. And my special guest this week is Dr. Rebecca Spencer, and she is back again on the show. Welcome, Rebecca. It's so nice to have you back.
Yes, it's always great to be with you, Peggy. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Rebecca and I were just talking ahead of time. I mean, this month, last month, we're kind of extending it a little bit into February. We've been talking about alternative therapy options for families. And she saw one of the memes we had put up on our feed a while back, and it was about hippotherapy, which we'll kind of explain how those are related to what we're talking about today. It's not about hippos. And just that she had seen so much success and was so excited about this type of therapy. And so, Rebecca, I am super excited for you to share with us, because when I first started Sped Homeschool, I had no idea what this was either. And I'm sure a lot of our parents are in that boat, you know, thinking, okay, we do speech, we do OT, we do PT, you know, and all these typical therapies. But I am just over the moon excited about sharing all these other options that parents have. And for you who does this, that how exciting that is to be able to share it with us. So yeah.
Yes, Peggy. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it's super exciting to see the successes that these kids go through the process. It's incredible. It really is.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear and to know more. And I'm sure our viewers that are popping on are wondering the same thing. So if you're popping on to the feed, whether you're watching on Facebook, on YouTube, just know you can put questions in. We'll build those into our conversation. We want you to be part of that. So definitely get involved and jump in. And I'm just going to have Rebecca, if you haven't heard from her before, definitely go back to our past YouTube videos, podcasts that have featured her, because she is a wealth of information, not just on hippotherapy, on a lot of really good things. And a lot, your videos get really good views, and so do your podcasts. So just know that she just has a depth of information and so much wisdom to share. So if you like what you hear here, definitely go back and listen to more and then check her website out too. And I'm just going to quick throw up your website here. It's cherishchildrenministries.org. Yes. And we'll kind of talk about that at the beginning and at the end as you kind of get to know you. But I would just love for you to to start out in just letting our viewers know who you are and just a little bit about your background and to, I guess since you're a homeschool mom, a little bit about that too.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, Peggy, as always, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah.
So this is actually my 22nd year in education, in the education world. So I started out as a public school teacher before I had children, and I loved every second of it, loved my teaching career. But then after I became a mom, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. Something I should note is prior to becoming a mom, I also had the privilege of teaching at the local state university. And in the local university, I taught in the reading department. I was actually president of the International Reading Association and also was the grad assistant for the head of the reading department. And then I also taught reading pre-service teachers in their senior year how to teach reading, the best methods and strategies for teaching reading.
Very cool.
All a God intertwined thing of how this all has happened.
Yeah.
So whenever I had my first son, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I stayed home. And then we started doing homeschool and started a little Christian school where we went to campus a few days a week and homeschooled the other days of the week. So it was a nice little hybrid model.
Right.
Our oldest son was just kind of a natural reader. It just happened. You know, sometimes that happens, but it's really a small percent of that does.
It's a blessing, definitely.
And then we had our middle son. And whenever I was, this is whenever my journey began. So the reason I put out there that I taught pre-service teachers how to teach reading is you would have thought that someone that had that background, even wrote my dissertation in reading and student achievement, wouldn't have had those struggles. But let me tell you, I had those struggles. And those struggles were tears every day. Those struggles were feeling like a failure. Those struggles were feeling like I wasn't equipped, feeling like someone else could do a better job, not really knowing what kind of resources were out there that I could turn to because everything I was doing was wrong. So little did I know that I learned that that's going to be kind of coming into our conversation is his primitive reflexes were not integrated. And that can actually stifle some higher level learning.
Right. Yeah. We talked about that a couple weeks ago with another guest and and she went into depth in that. And yes, is so crucial.
So it is. It wasn't the game changer, but it was definitely something we had to remedy. Something I had to learn about, something I had to help him with. And it's not really anybody's fault.
Right.
Sometimes these things just happen. So through that process is where this started, where my learning started happening in addition to. So I started taking classes in dyslexia and autism and ADHD and ADD and all kinds of different spectrum disorders. So now I actually do full diagnostics and all of that. I give a full scale IQ assessment. So I actually can, I do diagnostics in all of those things. So that's part of my services component.
Right.
So that being said, then we had our third son and he was born hearing impaired. So I used these strategies and methods and techniques with him as well. So what started out as something that you thought you had the world conquered brought you to
exactly. What encouragement though that is for so many parents who say, oh, you know, I just don't have that teaching degree. Mm-hmm. That must be why my child is struggling. And really our kids give us so many questions and not many answers.
Yes.
And we are just called to learn alongside them to help them.
Yes.
And God provides those answers, you know, as we keep seeking and praying and asking. And being open to whatever we need to change, our ideals or our knowledge and through that process. But it's equipped you then in on the flip side to help other parents. And what a blessing that is.
Yes.
And yes. So that is so cool.
Yes. And so I grew up actually on a cattle ranch. So I didn't know this was going to come to fruition either. So I grew up on a cattle ranch. We always had horses. My dad, he was a rancher. He was, you know, on the farm forever since he was a kid. And I just kind of knew his way. Like he had what you would call just horse sense, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And so
I just grew up around it. So I didn't know that by growing up around this, my entire life was going to help me later either. So that's another God thing.
Yeah.
And so my dad, I remember him always saying, there's something about the outside of a horse that's good for the inside of a man. And so little did I know that it was actually going to come around full circle for me.
Right.
With my language therapy. And so that's what I do. That's what I spend most of my time doing right now these days is doing diagnostic testing and delivering intervention for kids that struggle with language and reading disorders. So I deliver therapy for them, both in person, online, and then also, of course, what we're talking about is hypotherapy today.
Yes. Yeah. It's so nice that the parents have these different options, you know, for different children.
After a word from our sponsor, we'll dive back into this conversation.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool. Go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home.
Specifically, what is equine assisted therapy or hippotherapy? And also, how did that name get in there, that hippo?
I know, right? So, you know, one thing that I like to talk about is just to imagine for a second that kids that have a learning struggle, let's just think about this. They should be able to read or do whatever you're asking them to do just as fast as those without the struggle. No, that doesn't make sense, does it?
Yeah.
So the analogy I like to use is whenever you have two cars that need to get to that same destination, one gets to take the freeway and then the other one has to take that curvy, windy road. And so that's what I'm helping are these kids that have to take that curvy, windy road. It's like, who's going to get there first? Well, the ones that get to take the freeway, like just like my oldest son, they're going to get there first. But do they have the same destination? Do they have the same needs? Well, they don't. Have the same needs. Some kids are going to have greater needs or just they look differently. And we've been trained in ways that we just as a cultural of this is what you do. This is what you do. But really the answer doesn't lie within a box. And so we have to actually help those kids that we know statistically that these kids do need those, that extra assistance. Right. So I'm going to move here to portion of my session went to tell you about hippotherapy. It actually comes from the Greek word. So the Greek word actually means horse. Before actually getting behind it, I was thinking, oh, it's a giant animal. It's a giant animal. And honestly, Peggy, there is something about giant animal. And of course it has to be the right giant. So it can't just be any horse. he's actually, I'll show you pictures of him, but he is a gentle giant. And I'll get into what that looks like here in a minute, but it actually comes from the Greek word hippos, meaning horse, a medical treatment that utilizes the purposeful manipulation of equine movement as treatment strategy to address functional goals. So there is a difference between equine and hippo. So equine is going to entail more, even stroke patients will use equine therapy, where they maybe just like brush the horse. Maybe they can't do anything else. There's something about equine in that way. Hippo is actually where we are using it, manipulating that equine movement as a treatment strategy for like different functional. So different people can use hippo therapy. Occupational therapists can use hippotherapy, physical therapists, myself, like a speech and language therapist can use that. Different professionals that are in this world can practice that clinical strategy with that purposeful manipulation of the equine movement to engage those sensories. And so I talk a lot about motor, mm-hmm. and cognitive systems to achieve the functional outcomes. So it's actually just part of what I do along with my language-based learning. And so it's all about movement, if you will. So the horse's pelvis shares the same three-dimensional planes as a human pelvis. And this movement is multidimensional, and it provides the system-wide impact. So whenever receiving movement transmitted by the horse's pelvis, the kids can actually develop physical skills. Like, it helps them with their balance. It helps them with their proprioception. It helps them with their brain, right and left, keeping that together, organizing those thoughts, staying focused. And then the dynamic movement of that horse combined with whatever charge I might have them do. Like, maybe I'm trying to get them to cross over right and left. So I'll put a ball in their hand and I'll have a goal to cross. I'll have the ball in their right hand while they're on the horse. And maybe their goal is to take the ball and cross over the body to get it into my basket while I have a helper on the other side of me. So they're sitting on the horse, taking the ball, and they are throwing the ball and they are moving that arm forcefully across, aiming. So we're looking at eye tracking. We're looking at crossing over the midline. We're looking at balance. So there's a lot of sensory things that are happening.
Right. And it's all happening at the same time too.
It's all happening at the same time. So, and posture, you know, you have to have good posture while you're riding that horse.
And it's working on that core strength too.
The core strength. Yeah. That's right. The core strength. And that's very, very important for our kids. So it's really an evaluation of what, after I evaluate the student, I have to decide. I have a series of assessments that I do. But after I conduct the series of assessments and I get some intake and have a conversation with the family and get to understand and get to know them, then I can make the decision based on that. What do we need? What kind of a program do we need? Do we need to focus on integrating the primitive reflexes? Do we need to focus on just crossing over? Do we need to focus on balance? We have a scope and sequence, if you will, of where the start points are. So what does this child need? What this child needs isn't necessarily what this child needs. Now, granted, we all start basic. Mm-hmm. Right. So every student that I work with that comes out to the ranch, we always start with just kind of getting to know the horse.
Oh, yeah.
And there's something about just getting to know the horse that instantly just kind of lets down barriers. It kind of lets that child start to communicate with you in ways that maybe he or she would not otherwise do so.
Right.
And that hand on the horse for the first time. There's something inside of them. You know how I said there's something, my dad would say there's something about the outside of a horse that's good for the inside of the man.
Right.
I tell them to breathe in, and we work on breathing. We work on counting. We work on breathing.
Cause that helps with the vagus nerve too, doesn't it? And it just calms that whole system down.
So yes, it's so, it's incredible. It's quite amazing the way that God made those interactions. And there's something about that when they breathe in, the horse has a very distinct scent. There's something about it that they can take in and they can breathe that in. So I'll show you some pictures a little bit later, but really, there's just something remarkable about that tool of hippotherapy. So kids in other settings might just have like limited access to things that they need for physical or occupational therapies, like in a traditional school setting, for example.
Right. So I was going to ask you, you know, based on all of those things, the effectiveness that looks, it just seems like you're taking, you know, those bits and pieces of all those different therapies and what they're good at, you're kind of mixing them all together and then adding in so many other things. So is that what leads to the effectiveness of this type of therapy?
Right. And really my main word, my word for today, if I had to summarize it in one word, would be confidence.
Yeah.
And when I show you those pictures, you're going to see what I mean by that. But it does. It just combines so many things together that this student, I have kids that come in, they have never been around any kind of a farm animal. And right. then by the end of the program, they're doing things on that horse that they never thought they could do.
That's amazing.
I just give them that confidence boost that they can do it. And there is something about that emulation of that movement with the horse and the way that he carries himself. This can be used for physical therapy. It can be used for occupational therapy. There's lots of different therapies it can be used okay. for. I focus specifically on primitive reflexes and, of course, communication, effective communication. We want our students to be able to communicate effectively. And really, at the end right. of the day, most families want for their child is to be able to communicate effectively.
Oh, right. Because you can't really teach a child unless the communication barrier has been broken because right. you can't teach them anything. You can't receive anything to test whether they know something or not. And so
That's right.
Makes so much sense that yes. would be a very key component. But of course, you know, those primitive reflexes too, it goes back to that. Those two mm-hmm. things are so crucial.
Right. Right. So you said it exactly right. You said exactly what I was going to say is to working on the receptive language and the expressive language, because a lot of times they're not able to do that. But when they are on the horse, we actually have different simulations. I have different stories. Maybe it's just a matter of awesome. Letter recognition. So I have all kinds of just based on what that student needs. Maybe we just need to work on our phonemes and our graphemes. Maybe we have to work on our speech, our sounds. So we'll do that while on the horse. And of course, I have big cards that I use so that yeah. they move through the series for their session.
Okay. So you're yeah. actually moving around like an entire arena or a space.
Exactly. So we're moving around and my helpers have like, I have set out like maybe the student needs to work on digraph CH. So I'll have my helpers, they will have the cards up that I need. And as we walk around, the child will say, oh, digraph CH, chair. Okay. Where else do you hear the digraph CH sound? Do you hear it in the final okay. position? Like in mat? Oh yeah, that's trigraph TCH. So we just move okay. around. So it just depends on what the child needs. And of course, progress monitoring and benchmark assessments, you know, I'm right. constantly monitoring. So I know exactly where my kids are. I know exactly what they need. Exactly. I know if they have yes. mastered a skill. I know if they had a mastered a skill. Right. I know if they need to spend more time just on their proprioception. I know if they need to spend some time on vestibular. I know if they need to spend time just on some of those different basics.
Well, and that makes sense why this is therapy and it isn't just a horseback yeah. riding lesson. You know, exactly. you're monitoring and checking off, and as a therapist, really mm-hmm. knowing what underneath the student needs to be able to build on to the next thing. And
exactly.
so that makes a lot of sense.
Right. Very cool. And you said, you know, how is hippotherapy different from horseback riding? Well, hippotherapy yes. is whenever the kids absorb and benefit from the actual movement of the horse so that we can improve the function as being the goal.
Right. Okay.
So really yeah. like I'm in control of the horse, or, you know, my assistant's in control of the horse. And under my direction as a therapist, like I'm telling them what to do. Versus horseback riding, your goal is to actually have that rider controlling the horse to the best yeah. of their ability. So it's like a horsemanship kind of a discipline that might have like social or recreational kinds of benefits. So this is more me or my assistants. We are controlling the horse. We're mm-hmm. getting that input for the student to receive that benefit.
Okay.
And so why the horse? So the horse has so much to offer.
And I'm sure it probably takes a specific horse too. How long did it take you to find a horse that you would be comfortable with? Because I know friends who own horses and they've been through a lot, you know, just finding one to ride, but one that is actually good for therapy.
Yes, absolutely. It takes a lot of time. And it takes a lot of research. I can tell you, like, whenever we first tried to find a horse, whenever you get out there and start searching, there are some keywords you can try to figure out at different ranges, and they raise them for equines. You can find some equine farms where they have worked with their horses to prepare them for a ranch with children or things like that. So there are ways that you can do that. My horse, I got him from a gentleman. He was just, you know, there are some that are just better natured than others, if you will.
Right.
But this one, he is the best I've seen. I walk under him and around him so that my kids see how safe that he is. I always say they're an animal. Anything can happen at any given time, right?
Right.
This one particular was one that you could just, the gentleman we purchased him from, you could really just holler his name and he would come to you. He's much like, I describe him
like
my students.
Dog.
He's like a dog.
Yeah.
Like a dog. He's just a giant dog. So really, you know, you can tell they have a personality. Mm-hmm. Horses have a personality. And so you can tell when they, of course, there are some different assessments you have to check off.
Right.
But one thing that's interesting is the movement of the horse and what it brings to the table for therapy.
Yeah.
The horse takes an average of 100 steps a minute, or 3,000 steps during 30 minutes of any type of equine movement. So that practice, which is a natural, is kind of key to like relearning tasks. So you'll see a lot of stroke patients. This is what they will be doing, but the horse offers that sensory input for the proprioception and the vestibular, the tactile, the visual, as the child moves through space or moves through whatever arena or whatever obstacle we'll have them going for the day.
Okay.
So it's definitely simultaneous with the input and helps regulate maybe a system that doesn't have processing orders, you know, in place, like whether that's auditory processing, whether that is vestibular or sensory processing. And something to note is a lot of kids, and this is something that I've seen come through quite a bit, kids that struggle with auditory processing, the proprioception is directly related to that. And I was just going to share with you a statistic here that I wanted to pull up. But the proprioception with our hearing and auditory processing is, not to get off on auditory processing, but I want your listeners to hear that if they have a student, a child that is struggling with that, it could be a proprioception issue. And so hypotherapy might be something they want to consider. It's more than just hearing, and they probably know that.
Right. But
it is, gravity is really important with auditory processing.
Oh, I have no idea.
It is. It's actually from where the baseline level of brain activity arrives. So those postural muscles are the big muscles that need to be worked along with that auditory stimulation so that the brain can function as a whole unit. And so between 6 and 12 months of age, the baby begins to crawl, and it's really important that the baby does crawl, which my son didn't. So that's whenever they like pick up objects and like move them to themselves, right?
Okay.
Or away from themselves.
Right.
So that's really important for that element. So I just want to encourage your listeners that if they do suspect something auditory processing, you could look at a ranch that might have some hypotherapy available for your child that could help with the proprioception, which will help with the auditory. Right. For me, I'll have the kids, if I have a learner that's struggling with auditory, I will have them do the primitive reflex integration on the horse. And they love the horse anyway. They get to where they have a relationship with the horse. Uh-huh. So they want to do that. It's much more fun for the child to be on the horse and do those exercises instead of just like on the floor. So they think it's it's just cooler, if you will. Like I'm on this giant animal when I'm doing these exercises. And so, you know, it's a win-win for everybody.
Right.
Let's see. So I do want to tell you that, the scope of practice of hippotherapy, so the American Occupational Association of Physical Therapy and the Speech and Hearing also have stated that hippotherapy equine movement is within the scope of practice for occupational therapy, speech and language therapy, which is what I do. So it's been a lot of fun to be able to break into that because I've loved horses all my life. And to be able to take my love of language and teaching kids to combine all this together has been a really amazing work of God.
It's so nice that we're kind of losing those compartmentalized classifications of this is, you know, this is school, this is learning, this is therapy. Mm-hmm. And well, that's just fun, you know, but really integrating all of that and finding that God did have a purpose in all of these things.
Yes. He knew exactly what he was doing, didn't he? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He knew exactly what he was doing when he made that horse. And just like our learners, he knew exactly what he was doing when he made our learners struggle. It is no accident why they learn the way they learn. Right. We just have to figure out how they learn and then help them in their struggle.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's been really, really neat to see the full scope of that and to see that come around. In my world as a language.
And it's linking so many things from your background that you probably thought, oh, this is never all going to work together.
Yes, definitely. So, and you also think, oh, well, even though I do horses, I've been around horses my whole life, never would I have thought of being able to use it as a therapy because I've always thought, oh, well, that will be occupational therapy or that will be physical therapy. But how cool that the American Occupational Association, you know, and the Physical Therapy Association recognize it for also speech and language.
Yes. And that's where your heart is too. And I know after talking to you so many times, you know, it was a huge struggle of your child's and that always bonds our heart more to that. As homeschool moms, you know, we pour so much into our kids and where our kids hurt is where we hurt. And so you have that great compassion for those parents and those kids in that spot. And what a blessing to be able to do this and to be able to help those parents. I know you just said before we started the conversation that some parents had given you some feedback on the results. You want to share a little bit about that and just how that has blessed you?
Yes. So I just heard back actually this last week from, I had three parents and three students actually sent me an email saying, thank you so much for helping my child. And then the students were like, thank you so much for helping me. And they're ready to come back to the ranch. They have to, of course, put it in their schedule because we're in Missouri and I have students that are in different states. So they have to make it fit their schedule where they can come see me. Now our locals,
You can't do teletherapy like that.
Yeah, you can't really do teletherapy. Like that. So they have to fit their schedules.
Right.
But then I have regulars that come from as far as 2 hours away. They'll drive, you know, to come for a session, you know, a few times a month. So it's been a lot of fun. But they'll say, I've been working with Dr. Rebecca for 6 months now, and I can see just the change in my child and the confidence that he has gained. And from going to not being able to express him or herself with communication to now being able to not only express themselves with writing a short story, but also being able to tell a story at the campfire with our family or to do it like a team story where the other children in the family will start a story and then they'll be able to chime in and add to it. So it's been a lot of fun just to hear those feelings whenever they are bonding through something that I was able just to help a tiny bit with. And then also for balance. So one of them was receiving occupational therapy, but since he's been coming out to the ranch to receive hippotherapy, he has been able to graduate from his occupational
therapy. So cool. Yes.
So those little stories are very meaningful to my heart. And just hearing the families that are happy with results and that are happy that their kid is happy. So there's nothing more discouraging than your child being gloomy and sad and feeling like they can't do anything like their siblings or like their peers. Or even I have one that was feeling insecure even at youth group, even in your church.
I know.
To be able to help them to actually be able to communicate in youth group or with their peers at church. It's just amazing. And it's just a blessing to be able to help them do that.
Yes. Yeah. And what encouragement, you know, for the work you're doing. Just, I'm sure it just motivates you to do more, because there's so many kids out there that are hurting like that, but yet you're changing lives one child at a time. That's so awesome.
Yes. And I think I'm even, hopefully, this summer, we have a camp that's nearby. And so I'm hoping that I'll be able to host a dyslexia for a week camp where we'll be able to do, lessons for the kids that have dyslexia, get them started off to a really great start for their school year, and then incorporate the hippotherapy along with it during their days of camp, along with all the other activities we'll be doing. Yeah. So that's something I'm kind of looking forward to for this summer.
That is cool. So, question for you. Yeah. When did it come to your mind that this would be a good thing to do?
Wow, that's a great question, Penny. So, let me think about this for a second. It's been a few years ago. I would say 2 years ago.
Okay.
Whenever we were just out in the field one day amidst the horses, we have several horses, amidst the horses. And, my middle son that I was telling you about really, he's an animal lover. So he loves horses anyway. So, he just wanted to ride. And so there's one in particular, the one that I use for hippotherapy, that's an amazing horse that I felt like he can absolutely get on this horse. He will be fine. Nothing will happen. Dangerously, I should say.
Right.
so he got on and had a great time with the horse. And I could tell that when he was on his back, that there was something different about him. There was something different about my son. Like, I could tell there was peace. I could tell he had rhythm. There was something going on with the way his body moved, because this is the child that really struggled. There was something different. So I think that was just a God thing. You know, I didn't really consider that, but I did process that. I know that this horse is good for this child. I know that there's something about being out here in nature. I know there's something about being on top of this giant animal. I know that this is good for him. And so that must have been whenever the idea sparked, because then I started doing some more research, and I actually started, that would have been in the fall. And then that following spring actually is whenever I started actually implementing it. So it had to just happen rather quickly. It's just incredible. What is put in front of you that you don't even think that, that's what I should be doing with that. So, he was bareback. So, you'll see in my pictures, they have options. There are certain protocol that you need to follow. But the pictures I'm going to show you are some students that are either, a few of them are on saddle because, you know, we have requirements, but with my son, I did everything with him on bareback because it was something about, or put a blanket on the horse where you can actually feel the movements more so through the horse as opposed to the
saddle. Yeah.
It releases some of that. So it makes the ride more gentle, which really that's not what we're going for with hippotherapy. We're going for more of we want that emulation of movement.
Okay.
And so you'll see some of my students, I'll put on the, it was interesting in your blog post, I think you said this, and I was like, oh my goodness, I've had people say this to me. The students will turn around backwards.
Yes, yes. That's what Cammie wrote that blog. Yes.
Had a vendor come out and he said to my husband, why is that kid on the horse riding backwards? He said, yeah, it's because she's doing hippo thing. And I think I have a picture up here for you to see that here in a moment.
Okay.
But it does. Riding backwards, what are you doing to the child? Well, you're making them, they can't see where they're going. They are having to use the core.
Oh, yeah.
They are having to sit up. They're having to concentrate. They're having to use that brain. And I have them grab the horse's tail because that tail, you know, that horse is a giant compared to the child. So that child is not going to hurt the horse. I've heard students say, I don't want to hurt the horse. You're not going to hurt the horse.
Right.
So he's a giant. So, but that will emulate that. And then that helps build their confidence when they turn around front ways.
Oh, okay.
To ride. And then they're instantly already, their confidence is already boosted at that point. It depends on the child. That step doesn't usually happen until a few sessions into the treatment plan for the student.
But
we can start ages. I've had questions like, what age do you
start? Yes. That is a very good question.
Personally, it's recommended that you start working with children at least 3 years of age. So if they're under
three,
that
would make sense. Yeah.
You know, but there's, it's not set in stone, but it's just a recommendation. And of course, every child is different. There are 100 articles, over 100 articles that are peer reviewed. Because now what evidence is available? Evidence-based. This is evidence-based, and it is. Right. There are more than 100 articles that are.
But it's new too, right? It's just emerging, and there's probably so much more yet to discover.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So much more to discover. So, So that's those are good questions. I'm glad you asked me that because I hadn't really thought about that. Like, I knew that I had started like a couple of years ago, but I didn't think,
what was the catalyst? Yeah. A lot of times that gets you back to, that God moment that started that. I know people ask me because I opened an aerial studio and I teach aerial silks now to students in my free time, was that. But people ask me, how did that start? And I was like, it was somebody sitting down next to me and saying, would you teach? And like, I hadn't thought about that one before.
Yeah, and you're so good at it. It's so nice to share your gifts with others.
It is. And I feel the same way, as you talk about with your students. I see, these students that aren't comfortable even being upside down. And all of a sudden it's like on my first lesson, I'm like, okay, we're going upside down. And how does that feel? And, you just kind of literally flip their world upside down. They gain so much confidence and it's just amazing. And so I know that feeling, but knowing that God is in it, it's just, it just makes it all the more sweet. And,
And you're doing what you love. And so by you doing what you love and sharing that with them, they can sense that. They can tell you love this and you want them to love it. And so you just are investing that.
Amazing. When you're passionate about something and everybody around you knows it and it becomes joyful. It's not like, I'm doing my job as a therapist and you're my student and we're going to get through this, hour. No, it's like, let's just share this joy.
That's right.
And see, just how it can improve both of us at the same time. And that is that's priceless. Be able to share that and it doesn't even seem like work.
that's right Peggy. Exactly, that's how I feel too. So I love that you're doing that.
It just feeds my soul as I'm getting the feeling that this does the same for you.
It does.
That's amazing. So you've been talking about academic language therapy, primitive reflex integration, and brain balance. Can you dive into specifics of you know, for like parents who say, well, my child, you know, has these, you know, integration issues or whatever. What is behind it? Or, you know, what, I guess, just share some things that are related to those categories. And just how hippotherapy is so effective.
Yeah, sure. So your brain has two hemispheres, the right and the left.
Okay.
The right hemisphere is the side of the brain that is response. So you'll comprehension is actually found on the right side of the brain, and language is on the left side of the brain. And so not that they don't cross over, and that's not like an altogether deal breaker. But what happens is students who struggle with reading is not natural. Okay. We know that reading is just not natural. We know
exactly
that 95% of our kids are going to need something that is very systematic, that is very explicit instruction. It's very structured. And we know that we read words letter by letter. Now, you and I are readers.
Right.
And so we intake the word, actually. We're so familiar with words that it seems like we just know them by sight, but we don't. We have interacted with words so much in our life that we have become good readers. But we didn't just become good readers. We have to have experiences. We know that our brain takes those words in letter by letter. So one thing that I had to relearn is for my students, for my own kids, and I taught this in college, that we have to teach our kids to actually learn how to break the code. We are code breakers.
Yes.
How do we do that? So I've used this before. This is called Scarborough's rope, and it was basically designed, it was a metaphor basically of what this looks like as a reader. So you have strands of rope that are frayed, and those frays encompass like language and comprehension and fluency and all the components of reading, vocabulary and so on and so forth, phonics, phonemic awareness, and they're all frayed. Well, whenever proper connections are made, weaving of those strands of rope come together. Yes. And a tightly woven rope yields a confident, fluent, comprehensive reader.
Right. And you have to have all those components. Yes.
Yes. And there are things that we can do in order to help them weave those strands together. And part of that would be hippotherapy.
Okay. Yeah.
So yes, I actually use the Texas Scottish Rite Hospital Take Flight program for my learners 7 and up. And then I use the Build program for kindergarten and first graders. And it's like the golden egg. Hands down the best I've seen. Now there might be people that argue and that's okay, but for me personally, it's just the best that I've seen, and the results are amazing. I'll have teachers that will continually come and say, oh, we're doing parts of this, but we're missing this piece. And so I meet with my students an hour a day and I take them through the entire program. By the time they hit, there are 7 books in all. By the time they hit book 3, they are reading with more prosody than what they had been in the past. And you can see their confidence building, and you can also already see gains of improvement. So the hippotherapy, since we know that we have the brain is very powerful, your brain is a muscle. We know that the more neurons that fire together, more neurons wire together, right?
Right.
So whenever we're doing hippotherapy with the student based on what the student needs, what are we doing? We are building healthy neurons. We are the rope strands together. When the child is on the horse and the child is taking the ball and throwing it to the other side, we are building healthy neurons. When the child is on the horse and the child is reading a sentence, And goes down the arena and finishes the sentence. The child is building healthy neurons. We are integrating. We're keeping our core strong. We're working on our vision. We're working on our tactile, our vestibular, our proprioception, our senses, all of that coming together. And so the more senses that we have that are working together, the healthier our neurons will become.
Okay, so you're just not compartmentalizing it, and because education has become so much of that. It's like, okay, we're going to do this here and this here, and it seems like from what you're talking about that hurts the whole learning system and how we were wired to learn.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. We just don't all fit in these boxes, these pretty little boxes.
Uh huh.
But we all have these strengths that we just need to figure out how to access.
Right.
And I can tell you my inbox and my caseloads are full right now with kids who need help and with parents who are reaching out like, please help my child. This is happening. I think they're dyslexic. I think, we're in fifth grade and we're behind in reading. One of my students was held back a year, and the student is already going to get to join the class for next school year. So already making A's and B's. And of course, the classroom setting, it's a Christian school. So they're very, very understanding of what the child needs. So it's not like that the student's put in a box anyway.
Right.
But just giving those students those opportunities and being willing to learn yeah. more. I'm always learning. There's something I'll learn today, this afternoon, just digging in and just keep going.
Right. Yeah. And I just want to encourage parents, you know, they're what Rebecca's talking about. And I've talked to other educators and people that, you know, have that interact with our business. And so many of them have such full caseloads because there is just so much need out there. So don't feel like you are alone, that your child is the only one who struggles. No, this is across the board. There are so many kids that need help because we've set up our learning systems to help. I mean, they really aren't integrated, and it makes it very difficult on them that don't learn in those compartmentalized box systems. And so, so don't give up and keep looking for something that, whether it's through Dr. Rebecca or somebody else near you, if you want to do that equine therapy and you don't live near her. But yes, there's
and they can schedule a visit anytime they're in the area. So just
absolutely.
Let me know.
Absolutely. Summer trip.
Summer trip. Come to the ranch.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. So encouraging that, you know, and I'm assuming, you know, you have students of all ages and you've seen success wherever they have started. And I can you address that just a little bit? Because I know I didn't catch my middle son's auditory processing issues and dyslexia till he was 16. And I felt like a failure because that's where we started. But can you address, you know, at any age, there's
absolutely. Absolutely. This program is for ages. The language program that I use is for ages 7 to 100 years old.
Ah, awesome.
Absolutely. So it's not too late. It is not too late. Don't feel like a failure. You know, I did that too, but it's not too late. So I have pictures too, Peggy, if you want to see.
Oh, yes. Let's do those. And then I'll have people connect with your resources.
Okay.
Oh, and if you're listening on the podcast, just know you can go to the YouTube channel to see these pictures. That link will be in the podcast description. So why don't you explain what we're looking at here?
Okay. So this is one of my students, and notice she has her shoes on right now. This was her first day standing. No, this was not her first day. she's been with me for several months, but this was her first day when she actually got to stand on the horse. Notice her arms are out and she's focusing. So she's actually working on her balance in this picture. And then eventually she'll take her shoes off where she actually feels the horse. Notice this student is working on proprioception. He's a little bit more advanced in the program. His shoes and socks are off, so he can feel the horse. And he is now standing on one foot and focusing. Wow. So that's a big accomplishment when they can do that. Here is a picture of a student that is writing backwards. This is, I told you in the podcast
about how
they write backwards and emulate the movement, working on the core strength here. Here is a picture of the same student. Get to a point where I want them to get comfortable on the horse. They are comfortable on the horse and I want them to move around. So I have a path, or it depends if it's in the path, it depends on the day. But I will walk around. They know where that is and they have that many minutes to just move around on the horse, as many positions as which is what they can.
Okay.
And then here is a picture of the student is actually barefoot on the horse, and he had graduated up to standing barefoot and one leg on the horse, and one foot up and one foot down. And then, of course, this is just they love the horse, so they just get to where they think that's their horse, and they just cherish it. And you can see we have other horses in the background, but yeah, so that's some of our students.
Cool.
And, we have several others. But this is, kind of what it looks like, Peggy.
Right. Yeah. That's so cool. Yes. Well, thanks for sharing that with us. And, so can you talk, because we're just wrapping up, just about what people can find on your website. It's cherishedchildrenministries.org.
Absolutely. So there's lots of different things you can find over on the website. You can find some programs that you can just look and see what primitive reflexes are. There's a free mini video series. You can check that out. Awesome. There are some free resources. We also have a page that has our services. And so you can see what our services are. And of course, those are hypnotherapy. And then we do the Cherish Learner Takes Flight, which is where I take the students through the Take Flight program.
Right.
And that's a 2-year commitment. And there is a wait list for that. So if your listeners want to get enrolled or get onto the wait list, they need to let me know as soon as possible. I take cohorts starting every August. Okay. So it starts in August, latter part of August. And I take the students through the program. The cohort maxes at 6 per cohort.
Okay.
So those are parents already signing up for those starting next August. So if you're interested, get on the wait list for that. And then also, I do trainings. So if, I'm doing dyslexia for a day here in a couple of weeks, virtually, so that parents, grandparents, community members, teachers, whoever want to know what it feels like to be dyslexic, they can join the workshop and participate. It's just a fun little workshop. It's just a few hours.
Yeah, but it creates that understanding. That's so important.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you don't know until you walk in their shoes.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in a nutshell, that is what we do.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all that you do. You bless so many families. Shared some of the stories here and sharing and your knowledge and wisdom. And it's been a blessing just to hear you talk about what you're doing in addition to other things that you've talked about on this show. So thank you for sharing and for reaching out to me and saying, I want to talk about this.
Yes, absolutely. I love talking about it. It was just kind of fun to see that come across my email. So thank you for letting me talk about hypnotherapy.
Exactly. Yes. And the email that Rebecca's talking about is our newsletter. We promise we don't bombard you with tons of stuff, but we share like blogs that are kind of at the top of our theme for the month, or just some deals that some of our partners have shared with us that maybe you want to take advantage of. You don't have to, but that are promise we don't give you too many emails, but if you want to be on that newsletter, you can visit our website and subscribe to that. And that'll kind of get you in on reminders about what the broadcast is coming up and so many other things that we have going on. We have a family camp that's coming in August again. It'll be in Stuartville, Minnesota, so just south of the Mayo Clinic. And we invite you to come as a family to that camp. And there's just so many other things we have going on. So you want to take part in all of that. And definitely check out Rebecca's website at cherishchildrenministries.org and see all that she has to offer you, just kind of the things that she just talked about. And also our website at spedhomeschool.com. We have a variety of different things that can help you to better homeschool your student with diverse learning needs. And this broadcast was sponsored by viewers like you. If you want to make a tax-deductible donation to support our nonprofit work, you can visit our website at spedhomeschool.com/donate. And we appreciate anything that you have that you'd like to partner with us and share, whether it's your time or your talents or a monetary donation. So, this is the end of this theme. And actually this month now, we're in February. Rebecca had said that she has a child who is hard of hearing, and we're focusing on students who have either are hearing impaired or deaf for our last two broadcasts. And next week, my guest is actually a mom who has a disability, a physical disability herself. So we're going to focus on some of those really hard places that we homeschool through. And so so next week's broadcast theme is about how to just persevere through hard homeschooling seasons. And we hope that you will join us for that discussion next week. So we'll be back for that. But thank you all for joining us. And whether you're live or on the recorded sessions, and we will see you again next week. Thanks again, Dr. Rebecca. It's always a pleasure having you on. And we'll see the rest of you next week. Bye, everybody.
I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer.
Hey everybody, I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
We're hosts of the Kainos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in everyday settings.
To learn more and subscribe, go to lifeaudio.com.